Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mole ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick. What's up, my friends? So good to be hanging out with you today on the Art of Paid Traffic podcast for episode number 216. I'm Rick, your host of this here show. If you're new here, thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate you. My goal here for the show is to help you grow and scale your business through smart online marketing strategies so that you can have a bigger impact and thus a better life, right? Because when our business is growing, we're having a bigger impact, and thus we are having a better life, and so are your customers. And that's what this is all about, right? If you've been listening to the show here for a while, welcome back. Super appreciate you tuning in each and every week. I've been having this weird conversation, not weird, it's a fun conversation over on Instagram. And I don't know how it started, because I started thinking about this myself. And then all of a sudden, people started sending me screenshots in Instagram stories of them listening to the podcast here, which I have asked you guys about doing in the past. But people are also including how they listen to the show, meaning like what speed they listen to the show. And I think this is so funny, because this is a conversation I have with myself whenever I listen to shows. And I happen to listen on 1.5 speed. And I'll be at the gym and I'll just, for example, I'm just like, oh, this person, I'm used to it, right? I'm used to 1.5 speed. And sometimes I'll look down at my phone and be like, you know, what's this? What does this sound like, you know, at normal speed? So I'll put it back to 1. I'm like, man, this person talks so slow, but yet it's normal. Right. And so I've been getting a lot of messages from, they're like, no, I cannot listen to your show on 2x speed because you talk so fast already. Well, I do talk a little fast because I get all excited about what I'm talking about here in the show. I'm trying to slow down, though. I'm trying to slow down. But people are sending me screenshots on Instagram stories there of, you know, what speed they're listening to the show. So I'm super curious. So take a screenshot of your listening to the podcast. Put it in your Instagram stories, tag me at Rick Mulready, and let me know what speed you're listening to the show on. I'm just super, super curious. And thanks so much in advance for doing that. I just think it's a funny conversation. All right, my friends, on today's show, I'm joined by a conversion copywriter by the name of Kirstie Fanton, and she's got a background in psychology. She actually worked as a counselor for 6 years and also a university lecturer for 3 years before making the move over to copywriting. And it's her ability to blend psychology, humor, empathy, and simplicity into her copywriting that really sets her apart as a copywriter. And I asked her to join me on the show here because it's been a long time since we talked about ways to improve your copywriting here on the show. And I don't like that. I want to be talking about this more, because copywriting is one of those, I think, often overlooked skills that when you can really dial in your copywriting, whether it's for Facebook ads or email marketing or maybe a sales page, this is gold, right? You can really increase your revenue when you hone in your copywriting skills. So today with Kirsty, we get into where you need to start when writing strong conversion copy. We talk about why Kirsty says that you don't need to email your list every single week. We share tips for understanding your target audience so that you can increase engagement with them, the types of open-ended questions to ask in a survey so that you can learn some really valuable information that's going to help your copywriting. We talk about this whole concept of the gap, right? We talk about gap a lot in terms of marketing. So we talk about how big is the gap between where your target audience is and where they need to be and how to use that information in writing better copy. We also get into what's really the meat of this conversation here today, which is the five core ingredients of using psychology in your copywriting. Kirsty's going to break down what each one of these core ingredients are and also how to very simply use them in your copy. And then finally, I ask Kirsty, if you're looking to hire a copywriter, what questions should you be asking them so that you are making sure that you're getting a good copywriter and asking the right types of questions if there's something that you want to be doing? Hiring a copywriter, man, I'm having a tough time with this sentence here. Let me redo this. I'm going to keep this right in here. Finally, my friends, we share the questions that you should be asking potential copywriters when considering hiring a copywriter for your business. Boom, nailed it. All that and a whole lot more, my friends. But before we dive into it with Kirsty, if you're an online expert, so maybe you are a coach or a consultant, you've got an online course or a membership program, or maybe you're a Facebook ads manager and you're looking to blow past six figures in your business while producing awesome results for your clients, then I want to invite you to check out my Accelerator Group Coaching Program. So maybe you have a few clients, but you lack consistency in getting more clients and customers. Maybe you have an offer that sells, but you don't know how to scale up to sell more. Maybe you're making some money in your business, but you don't have the lifestyle that you desire. Maybe most of your business is done manually and requires your involvement every step of the way. Maybe you know that you could be making more money, but maybe you don't know how to other than working more hours. Maybe you're doing a lot of marketing activities, but you don't have a process to get more clients and customers. Or maybe you feel like you're all alone trying to figure it all out by yourself. If any of these resonate with you, well, I created the Accelerator Group Coaching Program for you. And the new Accelerator class is now forming. And this six-month program runs from January 2019 to June 2019. So if you'd like to learn more and talk to me about whether you're a good fit for the Accelerator, DM me over on Instagram. I'm at Rick Mulready there on Instagram. So shoot me a message there and let's chat. All right, my friends, without further ado, let's dive into it with Kirsty Fenton. Kirsty, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Rick?
I am doing great. So we met at Kira Hugs Mastermind here in San Diego. Yes. At this point, when we're recording this, probably about, geez, I don't know, what, 6 weeks ago or something like that?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Something like that. And we got talking after the session that I did, and we were talking about how you kind of have this unique angle of how you use, I mean, I think most copywriters use psychology in their copy, but the angle that you had talked to me about was like from a therapist perspective and almost what that is like, the dynamic between therapist and patient. And I thought that was really interesting and using that sort of angle, if you will, and approach to writing copy. So I want to get into all that stuff here today. I'm really excited because we haven't talked about copy. We haven't done an episode on copywriting here on the show in a long time. And actually, as I'm talking about this, I don't even know, it's been several months. Okay. Maybe even at least a year before we've done an episode, since we've done an episode on copy. So really excited to dive into that here with you today. But before we dive into all that, let people know, let AOPT Nation know a little bit about you and what you're doing and what your background is.
Yeah, sure. So as you said, I'm a copywriter and I write launch and email copy for personality-driven businesses. And like you said, I do have a background in psychology and it's quite a deep one. So I worked as a counsellor specialising in loss and grief for a number of years. And I also lectured a few subjects at a university here in Sydney. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, but just to, I guess, frame what I'm going to share with you today. So you know it's coming from a place of genuine sort of knowledge and experience.
How did you make that transition counselor in loss and grief over to copywriter?
Yes, good question. So I sort of fell into copywriting, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I took a gap year in 2014. My partner and I decided to move to France for a year, which was amazing. And we basically spent 12 months doing everything and anything that we wouldn't do in our normal lives back here in Australia. And while we were doing that, I kept a blog, not for any sort of commercial purpose at all, but just to keep friends and family across all the adventures that we were having. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got back to Sydney, some of my friends had started their own business. And they had really liked the way I'd written on my blog and just asked if I would consider doing some copy for them. And at that stage, I really did not know what copywriting was. I really had no idea. So it was a bit of a leap of faith and everything just grew from there.
And so you said you specialize in writing for influencers and that sort of thing, conversion-based copy. Now, That's a big thing, right? That can include, I think about that. I think of like, you know, sales page. I think of landing pages, email copy. Yes. Do you cover all of that stuff?
I do, yes. So I actually started off specializing in emails only. Okay. But then I did my first big launch project. I think it was like April this year. Mm-hmm. And loved writing all those other things, particularly the long form sales pages, and just found that the project was so satisfying and performed really well. So yes, so that's also become part of what I offer.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So I want to focus a little bit. I want to start off focusing, I should say, a little bit on the email copy. This is something that so many people, myself included, have a real hard time just getting started with it. And mm-hmm. So we're going to kind of intermingle, if you will, the psychology part. We're going to dive into that stuff deeply. But I want to kind of weave that into the conversation around how do people get started? Where do you suggest that people get started when they're thinking about, okay, I need to sit down and write this email. And, you know, there's a call to action here. I want people to convert, whatever the conversion is for that person. How do you recommend people get started with writing that type of copy?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the thing I'm going to share today applies to whatever kind of copy you're writing. So that's kind of useful. But
cool.
I think the best place to start is always just to really, truly know your audience. So really know who you're writing to, because you want to write things that appeal to them, that are relevant to them, that provide some value to them, so that then when you are asking for that conversion or that call to action, it seems like a no-brainer. So I think with email copy in particular, I think some people have this idea that when they have a list, they should be emailing them, say, every Tuesday. But I think it's actually far more important to take a step back from that and think about whether you could actually send them something that's valuable. And that's actually, I think, people find that a bit scary to hear sometimes, but I think it's also actually a relief, right? Because you don't have to be churning out emails every week, mm-hmm. like really like scraping your brain for something to say. It's about knowing when you have something of really high value to send, because it's all about the relationship you have with your prospects. So if they can automatically think of you as someone who has value and, you know, adds to their life and adds to their inbox, then of course that is something that also makes those conversions come a lot easier.
So what would you mean, what in your mind is that high value type of email? Because we don't want to just send emails when we have an offer to make, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, we are adding value so that it is like, you know, all of a sudden someone hasn't heard from us in whatever amount of time, and then boom, there's an offer there. So in your mind, what is that email that is like a high value type of email?
Yeah, so it's something that your audience or your prospect can pick up and run with, I think. So, for example, I realized a few months ago that most of my list is actually fellow copywriters, so not necessarily my prospects that I'd work with on a project. Mm-hmm. So most of my emails are about copy tips and explained in like quite a different, really grabbable, actionable way, so that they feel like, oh, I just learned something and I can go and use that straight away. So then when I actually made an offer to them, I created a service that was for copywriters a few weeks ago. And when I launched that, my intro offer sold out really quickly, I think because people had learned to trust me and liked the way I was speaking about things. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, it's like, I think you're right. You said it before. It takes the pressure off of having to like, oh, geez, I have to write this email, or I have to email them every single week, when maybe it is every week if you have something of high value to do it. But if you don't necessarily force it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm not saying you can't email every week, but I'm saying that shouldn't be the trigger for sending an email the time of the week.
Gotcha. Now, I want to go back to what you said is understanding your target audience. Like, this is one of those things where people, you know, they tend to roll their eyes and they're like, yeah, I know that. But I think I love hearing everyone's unique perspective on what it means to them to truly understand their target audience so that you can create copy that is going to move them, you know, create that know, like, and trust factor and move them through, you know, your customer journey in your business. So for you, what does that look like in truly understanding your target audience? And then what are some tips for everybody listening here, what they can do to make sure that they're fully understanding their target audience for their businesses or for their clients' businesses?
Yeah. So tip number one is pick up the phone. I think people often shy away from this because they're like, ooh, like conversations are scary. But conversations are just like a wealth of really specific detailed knowledge on your prospects. So that's my number one tip. Jump on the phone. And when you jump into those calls, I think it's so important to leave your own stuff at the door. So whether that's like expectations for what you think you might find out in the conversation, your own ego. So particularly if you're talking to people who are buying that thing that you're selling, like leave your ego at the door, leave your beliefs about things at the door so that you can really truly seek to understand that person that you're speaking with. So you don't have any agenda other than that, because I think that's when you get to the really meaty stuff and that's when you get really valuable perspective on who your prospects actually are.
So getting on the phone with them.
Yeah, getting on the phone with them.
Okay.
I mean, you can also do other things. So surveys. So surveys to your list. Obviously, when you're doing that, just making sure that you're asking really nice open questions so you're not leading them in any one direction. If you don't have a list or you don't have existing customers, then there's different types of data mining you can do. So you can go to where your prospects might be hanging out, whether that's in different Facebook groups or even if they're reviewing things on Amazon, for example, and really combing through what they're saying and sort of capturing both their language, so how they're saying things, but also getting a sense of what they're interested in, what they don't like, what they struggle to grasp or to understand.
And then how are we using that? So I get like the language, for example, using the language that they're using, like pain points and so forth, but how... For the other things and what we're finding in those, you know, whether it's an Amazon review or Facebook group or whatever, how are we using that information and context to writing our copy? What's that going to give us? What's that going to allow us to do in our copy?
Yeah, so that's going to allow us to put ourselves in their world and in their frame of reference. So once you're in there, it's actually so much easier to connect with them so that you can make them feel really seen and heard and understood, right? And that's so powerful, I think, for anyone in any context, but especially in copy. So if you know like how they think about things, what things they like, what their pet peeves are, like all those little details, then you can just make those connections a lot more quickly. You can build trust a lot more quickly. You know, you can even crack jokes and things like that that your audience will understand and appreciate. So it's all about accelerating that relationship.
I love that. I love that. So we got looking at Facebook groups, looking at Amazon, talking to them, getting on the phone, maybe getting them on Skype or Zoom or whatever. Yeah. Any other strategies?
So, I mean, they're probably my top ones.
Okay.
Surveys as well. So, yeah, surveys to people's lists and to segments
right.
of your list.
Yep. When we have stuff like that, like a survey, for example, you mentioned making sure that we ask open-ended questions. What are some examples of the types of open-ended questions that you have found a lot of success with that really get to, because I feel like we can ask open-ended questions, but then there's those really good, you know, really good questions that really give us that great insight that if we hadn't asked the question that way, we maybe normally wouldn't get that type of response. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're right, like open questions, like it's all good and well to say that, but what sort of questions you should ask is obviously also important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So questions, I think any questions that help give you context and specifics. So things like, for example, if you're selling some sort of product or service that offers some sort of transformation, like what did your life look like before you came across this product? What hesitations did you have when you were thinking of actually buying? You know, how has this product or this service actually impacted your life? So very open, like they can take those sort of however they want, but it's going to give you stuff that helps you paint a really clear three-dimensional picture for your next prospect.
Got it. I love it. Now, okay, I'm processing that because now we have that picture. Now we have that research done. We've got the insight into, you know, what their pain points are, what their challenges are, what they, you know, the sort of the before and after, their mindset, the language that they're using. Now, what do we do with that information?
So now, obviously, we come and we sit down to write the copy.
Yep.
And I think it's about pulling together all those things into, I don't know if argument's quite the right word, but assuming you're actually selling something, say you've got a call to action at the end of this, you want to take them on a journey and pull them down the path sort of one step at a time. So taking them from where they are now, what they know, how they think, what they believe and what they're feeling, to a place where they are ready to actually make that conversion. So it's a bit of a journey.
Now, so I could see that being one email. I could see that being like six emails, right? How do you determine like what's too much to put in one email if we're taking them through that type of journey?
Yeah. So I think the key there is thinking about how big the gap is between where they are now and where they need to be to actually confidently make a conversion. Because if it's a little thing, then maybe one email's okay. But if it is like quite a leap that they have to make, one email's not going to do it for you. It's going to come across as a weird, disconnected, hard sell, and it's probably going to hurt you more than help you, right? So it's about sort of really thinking and stepping that out. So what I like to do actually when I'm plotting out an email sequence is really think first and foremost about my prospect's journey, about what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what they're understanding at that point in time, and how I can take that one step closer to where I want them to be.
How do we simplify that whole process? Because I love that. I love what how you just said that. I can see somebody, and I'm thinking it myself, is like, well, I might have three different segments of people that I want to speak to, and the gap between where they are right now and where they need to be is going to be different for each one of those segments, right?
Yes.
And so how do we simplify that process? Or is it like, no, it's not, you know, we're not simplifying that down. It's you have three different groups of people that you're speaking to and that they're all at different points there. Is, you know, what, do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. So I think, unfortunately, that's something you probably can't simplify down too much because it's all about context. And I think if you try to simplify context, someone's context, that's when you might run into problems, right? Because then you're almost minimizing them. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yep.
So yeah, and but the better you know who you're speaking with, the easier that process becomes, right? Because you're not guessing. You're not sitting there with like some customer avatar being like, oh, I think that Bill is probably confused about this. Like, because you've actually spoken to Bill.
You know
what he's confused about. You know what he's questioning. You know what he's not quite bought into yet. So definitely that getting to know your prospects, getting to know your audience, that is the most helpful thing.
And so I want to unpack that a little bit, because what if we don't know? I'm assuming that if we don't know who is it, let's just say we do have an email list, we do have an audience, but we really don't know where these people are at. And, you know, like we don't know how big that gap is. And so is it sort of, I kind of look at that as like chicken and the egg. Do we sort of guess where people are at and try to say, okay, I'm going to pick John over here because I think John is in this segment of people? Or are we having the conversation, like picking people at random, if you will, or maybe they're our ideal customers or whatever. We're talking that we're having those conversations first and then creating our segments from there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So there are a couple of things you can do. So when you're looking at actually how to segment your list, the easiest way is to actually ask your list to self-segment.
Mm-hmm.
So, ideally you're doing that earlier on where you have some email where I always like to do it as you're sharing something about yourself, or if you're copywriting, you're sharing something about the person you're copywriting for.
Mm-hmm.
And then in return, you're asking the person reading to click a link or to hit reply with something about them. And that thing has to be something that's going to help you actually sell your different offers down the track. So that might be what they do for a living, or it might be, it depends what your offers are, I guess.
Sure.
So that's one way. Another way, you were saying there, like, you know, do you pick, say, your ideal prospect and go off what they're probably thinking and feeling?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually good to have a range of people. So you can actually use, you know, tracking and behaviors. So if people have clicked on stuff, if they haven't opened something for a while, for example, or if they bought something recently, or if they've been hovering around a sales page but never actually converted, that can give you a sense of whether this person is an ideal prospect, whether they're someone who's sort of on the fence, or whether they're someone who's quite checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be useful to speak with people at all of those different stages, so you can actually work out what's going on for them and how much influence your interactions with them has about moving them forward. if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I'm trying to think about one thing that we did for when we first launched our ad manager program in early 2017. We came up with these segments beforehand. So we determined, like, okay, we want to reach people like ad managers, but then we had sub-segmented that audience into three different segments. And then we spoke to each one differently, because what you're talking about here is the gap between where they were and where they needed to be was very different from each person to each person. And it was a lot of work. Like, to your point, like, all right, well, you're having those conversations, like, it's necessary to have those individual conversations with each segment of people. But then what we did after that was we sort of did the 80-20, you know, after that, because it was so much work. We decided, like, there were times we were looking, we needed to simplify this. And so we said, well, where are, you know, where are 80% of the people? Like, is there one of those segments that is most of the people are falling into? And for us, we did have that case. And so, you know, when we needed to simplify, we just spoke to that. You know, we were able to kind of hone in on that audience and just speak to that audience. And I'm bringing this up because, you know, guys, for everybody listening, like, this could be you. Like, you're like, all right, this is a lot of work, but I need to start somewhere. And I'm trying and simplify it down to speak to as many people in the audience as I can who maybe, you know, that is the largest aggregate of people in a subsegment of my audience, that sort of thing. And so that's what we did. It has worked out really well. But, you know, with that said, we still try to have those individual conversations with those different segments of people as much as possible. So, curious, I'm going to read a note here that you had sent to me, and I want to kind of start to dive into the psychology part of it. I mean, we have already talking about, you know, where are they at in their pain points and in their customer journey? What do they, you know, what do they need and all that stuff? But you had wrote, interestingly, studies have shown that as some therapists become more technically able, they also become less effective. In other words, they become so preoccupied with techniques, they lose sight of the bigger picture. How is that relevant from the psychology perspective of writing copy?
So I think that's so relevant because I think actually the world of copywriting is quite similar. There is an absolute plethora or an overwhelm of different techniques and formulas and approaches. And it's so easy to get bogged down in that. And to focus so much on, you know, writing the perfect hero story or writing a really good open loop or, you know, applying a certain framework perfectly, that you actually lose sight of the bigger goal of what you're trying to achieve. So, you know, you lose the forest for the trees, right? Mm-hmm. So what you might end up with is something that has some really great examples of individual techniques, but isn't actually hitting the goals as a whole, which can be incredibly confusing and hugely frustrating. Because it can even feel like the more you learn, the worse you get, I think. And actually, in a Facebook group I'm part of, a copywriter actually posted that exact thing this week. And I was like, oh, this is like useful timing because I'll be talking about this later. So it definitely happens. But I think, like, helpfully, what the world of psychology has that I don't think the world of copy really has yet is a stack of other research about what is the thing, the one thing that actually works in therapy. And what they found is that it's not an approach or a technique or a formula. It's actually the therapeutic alliance, which is fancy psych speak for the relationship between the client and the therapist.
Dig into that a little bit, because that is really I'm glad you went there, because I was going to go there next from the notes here. That is really in the two key words there. And I might be stealing your thunder here, but the key ingredients here in this, as you're calling it, the therapeutic alliance, are empathy and authenticity.
Yes. Yes. So there are actually five sort of core ingredients in that alliance. And I think the really useful thing about this is that although we sort of know in the world of marketing that the relationship is important, like that, you know, trust and respect and likability are things that you should aim to have, we haven't really drilled down into what those things actually composed of and how you actually trigger those, right? Like, it's more like these big nebulous ideas that we know we should be aiming for but aren't quite sure how to get there. Whereas in psychology, like, that has been drilled down. So I've been able to sort of transpose both those things and come up with something that's sort of really simple and intuitive to help people write effective copy.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. What are those things?
So as I said, there are five. So empathy, positive regard, competence, collaboration, and authenticity. So obviously I can drill down deeper into those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So empathy, I think we've actually already touched on with looking at how to actually understand who you're speaking with, right? So all those things like calls and surveys and just really getting to know your audience, that's part of empathy. Because empathy, in a nutshell, is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. And I think it's probably important to point out that it's different to sympathy, because I think that's probably still a misunderstanding that exists, well, both worlds, I guess. But so it's not sort of being able to hear about someone's circumstances and feel for them. So, oh, I feel sorry for you. Oh, you know, I feel so frustrated for you. It's about feeling with them. So it's a bit of a reframe. So when you're able to do that, what you're actually doing is communicating like a really deep and accurate understanding of that person, of how they see the world and how they respond to things and what they're feeling, which is incredibly powerful, because that really, really helps your prospect feel seen, heard and understood, and therefore accelerates all that trust and likability. And as well, sorry, I'm rambling here, but as well, it also builds a certain kind of authority, because if they see that in copy and they see that, wow, this person really gets me, then that positions that person or that business really well to suggest a solution, because they're like, if this person or business understands my problems and my pain to this extent, then the chances of them knowing what will actually get me out of this place are high, right? But does that make sense?
Absolutely. And people can be doing this through sharing their own experience and story along the way.
Yes. Absolutely, 100%. And I think people aren't doing that enough, you know, like origin stories in business, I think, are often tucked away, even when they're so relevant. So that's definitely something that we can use in copy to help accelerate that empathy. And the other thing we can use, so as well as like a really good, strong use of customer voice, specificity is something that I think is really key. So that means just being really mindful of the actual language that you choose. So rather than saying like, oh, you know, you're frustrated that there's so much paperwork when you're applying for this certain thing. It's like, no, like, oh my God, you are like smash your head against the wall, frustrated that you're spending hours filling out useless forms that ask, you know, really mundane, like removed questions. So it's getting really down deep into that so that it's really grippy. And that helps pull people in, and that helps people see that you really understand what it is they're struggling with.
And you can get that from the research that you were talking about earlier, like Facebook groups or survey or Amazon or what have you.
Absolutely. And like quite literally, like I often copy paste exact phrases from research phase into final copy, and they work so well. They're so effective because it's so accurate, right? People lean into that.
Yeah. You want people reading like, holy cow, they really get me. Like, yes, exactly. How do they know that? How are they in my head?
Yes, exactly. And I think the ultimate goal, which is can be hard to get to, but if you can sort of help them understand themselves in a new light or a new way, so you're almost one step ahead, you're one step deeper in your understanding of them than they are of themselves, like that's gold, you know?
Yep.
That's gold. You're home free.
Cool. Now you mentioned, was competence the next one, the next core ingredient?
Actually, positive regard might feed in better, I think.
Okay.
So positive regard, quite simply, is just genuinely believing in your prospect. So in their mastery, in their self-efficacy, and in their ability to change. And it can even be as simple as believing their story. So I guess to sort of make that a bit clearer. So one of the projects I worked on earlier this year was a launch project for a client who has this really amazing program for hypothyroidism. And like one thing that we kept finding in all the research was that all these ladies had these symptoms for months or sometimes years and just couldn't get diagnosed, even though they knew that something was wrong, because these symptoms are like fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, those sorts of things. So they were often told like, oh, you know, maybe you just need some antidepressants or something, like there's nothing physically wrong with you, which of course wasn't true. So being able to show in that sales page and in those emails that like, yes, I understand what you mean. Like, you are genuinely experiencing something that is beyond your control. This is not a mental illness. This is not something that's in your head. This is a real physical condition. That was incredibly powerful. So that's sort of one example of what that can look like.
So you're almost validating how they're feeling.
validating how they're feeling while still like believing the best version of themselves, I guess. In that case, that's a bit more nuanced because it's like you're believing that they're truthful. You're believing that, you know, they're not just fat, lazy slobs, as some of them had said other people had told them. So I don't know if that makes sense.
I see that as very closely aligning with that first, the first core ingredient of empathy.
Yes, absolutely.
Gotcha.
So it's almost stretching that one step further. So empathy is like, I totally understand you. Positive regard is, I see you and I respect you. I believe in you. You know, I believe that you can have the best life that you want.
Gotcha.
So they are really closely related, but it's also almost one step further. So another way that you can really display positive regard in your copy is through reframing, because when people have certain behaviors or they, you know, display certain things over and over again, they often get pigeonholed into quite negative things. So for example, you know, you're not stubborn and narrow-minded. You've been stung before, so you're cautious. So again, that's taking something that they might have been told before is quite a negative trait and seeing the best in it and putting value in it. You know, you're cautious because you're protecting yourself. So that probably means you're more likely to make safer, better decisions. So that's sort of one way you can do it. And I think with this quality, so positive regard, it's also important to avoid things. So, you know, you shouldn't be bullying or condescending or judging your prospects anywhere in your copy. And I know that might sound funny, but I'm sure we've all seen funnels where it's almost like the copywriting does get to that point where it's like, if you don't make this decision, then you're stupid. You know, you're missing out on so much and that's on you. Like,
right.
You've seen things like that, right? Like they do exist.
Sure. We've all seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, Rai Schwartz, who is quite a well-known copywriter, he works with Joe at Copy Hackers. He has a really nice way of talking about this. He talks about coaching the conversion. So it's not about bullying someone into it or like a hard sell. It's about, again, like believing the best in them and stepping alongside of them all the way through. So working out what roadblocks you need to get out of the way, what things they might need to understand about themselves, to believe about themselves, and then they get to the point of conversion. So again, not that hard sell, not that bullying or pressuring someone into it. Coming from that different place of positive regard.
Love it. Love it. That makes total sense. What's the third core ingredient?
So the third one is competence, which in marketing speak is authority, right? It's pretty much the same thing. It's just that proof that you're in a position of expertise and that you have the relevant knowledge and tools to bring about genuine change for your prospect. So I think of all the ingredients, I think this is the one that's probably done best in copy, because it shows up through things like social proof, so testimonials or before and after photos, qualifications, so whether that's like badges that you might have on your site, or mention of degrees or relevant experience or past wins or successes that you've been able to have with previous clients. The use of respected affiliates also fits into this, because if you're able to use someone that your audience already likes and respects, you're borrowing that authority from that person and you're putting it to use for yourself. I think the one piece of this that I think is by and large missed or missing from a lot of copy is what we touched on earlier, that personal experience or those origin stories. Because I think they're so valuable, but for some reason people discount them because they feel like if it's not a formal education or if it's not, or if it exposes some weaknesses in them because they went through some sort of transformation, like leave that out because it doesn't do me any favors. But it actually does, because it shows that, well, it allows your prospects to relate to you a lot better, right? Because if you've been through similar struggles or you're facing similar challenges to what they are now, and you've been able to go through that and come out the other side and be really successful in something, then of course that gives you authority, right? It gives you authority and it gives your prospects hope that this sort of change is powerful.
I'm just going to say, I can totally relate to this one. And, you know, because I spoke about this at, you know, Kira's Mastermind there, where, I mean, I can completely relate in a sense of, I didn't want to share this stuff for so long, you know, about like my anxiety, for example, and how the business has affected that anxiety and you know, all the work I've done and everything like that, because I felt like, just like you said, just said, Kirstie, is that I felt like it took me to a position of weakness, or that, you know, people don't want to hear about this. Like, they want to hear just the positive stuff and like teach me whatever. And this is a big reason why I had, for a long time, it's such a hard time sharing that origin story, or, you know, the story along the way, you know, of building the business and so forth. So I'm so glad that this is a such a key thing here in what we're talking about.
Yes, and like what you shared at that mastermind was amazing. I actually feel like the whole room just leaned into you so much more then, because we all knew that you're like this amazing business mind and you're like a baller, you know, you're killing it. But it was also so like refreshing and almost reassuring to hear that you also have struggles. Like even now you know, you don't have everything absolutely sorted. So yeah. I think it almost like gave us hope that like maybe we too can have the kind of success you've had in our businesses. And it made you more human and it was wonderful. So yeah, perfect example.
Cool.
Perfect
cool.
example.
Well, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that.
I mean it.
so was collaboration the next one or is that number five? Or is there one in between that one?
So authenticity is the next one.
Authenticity.
So it sort of feeds into what we were just talking about there. So it's about showing up as the real you, right? So taking off any business mask that you might be wearing. And I think this is something that, like, on the whole, we're slowly getting better at, because I think the nature of business and of how much information we want to know about people is slowly changing to support this. And it comes back down to the fact that our own being vulnerable encourages others to do the same, right? So exactly what you were just talking about before. Mm-hmm. And I think as well, like to use you as another example, I was listening to the episode that you recorded with Kira a couple of months ago. And I think the way that she drew out more of you is a really great example of how to show up authentically in your copy, right? Like you were saying things like the fact that you include Metallica and mentioned Bulletproof Coffee in the intro to this podcast is a result of that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And as we're having that conversation, I'm like, my brain is saying, why is this important?
Yep.
You know, but I've had so many people reach out about, like, they mentioned Bulletproof Coffee, they mentioned Metallica or something like that. And just like, like, just like you just said, it makes you relatable to people. But it also, it's going to repel people too, which isn't a bad thing.
No.
You know, because people might be like, well, I'm like, oh man, I'm not into that at all. You know, so they're not my, like, you know, I look at that, I'm like, cool. Like, if I'm not what you are into, meaning like if you're not part of my tribe because of what I'm sharing, like cool, like I want to share more of those things to attract the type of people that do want to be in my world, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's so much more valuable to have, you know, say 2,000 really strong connections or really loyal followers than 10,000 that are like schmeh. So yeah, if you repel half of them, that's fine, because the other half are going to be leaning in so much further.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. Yep. So we have empathy, positive regard, competence, authenticity, and then what's the fifth core ingredient?
So the fifth and final is collaboration, which is just joining with your prospect to work towards their goals. And this one really does come about as a result of the other qualities we've already talked about, because to do this, you need to know your prospect well enough to understand their goals, objections, and stumbling blocks. So that's all about empathy. You need to believe in their ability to reach their goals, which is obviously positive regard. You need them to have trust in you and or your product, which is all about competence or authority. Mm-hmm. And ideally, you want them to be identifying with you or liking you in some way. And that's the stuff that comes from that authenticity part. So, and collaboration, the way it actually shows up in your copy is through things like addressing objections, providing really solid guarantees, so you're reducing that risk, so you're making it easy for that person to trust you to move forward to reach their goal, and also future pacing, so where you're painting a really clear picture that they can actually buy into. Yeah, so I think it's techniques that we all know about when it comes to copy, but it's just knowing why you're doing them and putting them into that bigger frame of reference, so it's a lot simpler and clearer and easy to follow.
I love it. I love it. And I'm just a lot going through my head here as we're talking through these things. I just want to recap for everybody real quick what you just went through. So the first core ingredient is empathy, basically understanding who you're talking to, specificity in the language that you're choosing. Number two, positive regard. So genuinely believing in your prospect that they can master and change. And you also mentioned reframing different situations in your copy, which I love. Step number three is competence, like having authority that you're in a position of expertise so that they can trust you. Authenticity, being vulnerable, showing up as the real you. And then finally, collaboration, basically joining with your prospect to work towards their goals and ways to do this, like addressing objections, guarantees to reduce risk, future pacing of what's possible going forward. Anything else that we're missing in this conversation of these five core ingredients here?
That was such a perfect summary.
Oh, good. I take good notes.
I mean, maybe the only thing to add, sorry, because I don't know that I did it, just in terms of how to actually display authenticity through your copy. Mm-hmm. So I know what that is really well, and you explained that perfectly. But it's just about like really drilling down into like the things like the details, like things that you love, any pet peeves, any really niche talents or random life stories. So folding all of those things in. And just to say that process can paradoxically often be harder to do for yourself. So whether it's you're hiring a copywriter or you're actually speaking with a friend or someone, because it's easier to know what parts of yourself to display more fully if you have that sort of outside perspective, and sometimes just that permission, like, yes, the stuff about you is really interesting, or it's really funny, or it's really engaging. And that can help you sort of work out what's really magnetic about you as a person and how that can actually help you in your business.
I'm so glad you bring that up, because I was thinking about that as you were talking about it. I was like, well, if I think about this about myself, it's very challenging. Like, I don't come up with that stuff very easily, but yet, like Kira, as you mentioned, for example, she was able to bring that stuff out of me. Now, yes. If someone's, and I do want to talk about just briefly what like the types of questions to ask a potential copywriter to work with. But if we're not working with a copywriter and we're just asking a friend or a spouse or whatever, what are some of those things that we can ask them? Like, what are a couple of questions that would bring up that sort of thing as far as, you know, that vulnerability and authenticity and so forth?
So I think like one of the big ones that ties into some of the other stuff we've talked about is like, why did you start your business, or what made you actually get into this realm? Because that can bring up all sorts of personal stories that are really relevant. So that's a good starting point. And also asking like really random fun questions, like, you know, what really pisses you off? Like, what do you hate? Like, do you hate getting stuck behind people on a footpath? Like, that's one of mine. Oh my God, I really hate slow walkers. Like things like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, what foods do you love? Like, what's been your favorite holiday? You know, what animal would you be if you could be an animal? Because these types of questions, they just like, they seem silly, and you might start off with quite a shallow answer, but I think you'll often get to quite a deep, interesting place, right? It's like a fun way into the inner workings of someone's mind.
Yeah, when Kira was asking me these questions, like, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, why are you asking me what color crayon I would be in a pack of 64 crayons? Or like, what superhero? And ironically, the superhero question where I was like, I have to get back to you because I need to think about this. And I got back to her and I explained Iron Man, and the whole, you know, the whole Iron Man reference is an underlying theme of the business now. Which I found super interesting, because it was just that one simple question that she asked me that led to so many things, like having a superhero theme. And I, like, over my shoulder here in my office is an Iron Man helmet that Kira sent me. So I have it on the shelf. And so it's questions like that we think at first were like, these are like the dumbest questions, but yet you're totally right. They lead to so much more, and so much more personality and vulnerability and just showing up as the real you in both our copy and in our business. I want to finish with one question here in a second, but as we're having this conversation, there's so many parallels that what you're talking about here, Kirsty, that show up in creating, because, you know, we're talking about a customer journey. Yes, we're talking about it from a copywriting perspective right now, but there's so many parallels to how we take people through our customer journey in our business, you know, and understanding the gap that where are they at right now versus where they need to be, and approaching our Facebook ad campaigns or our online marketing campaigns, whatever we might be doing to attract people into our business. We're following, for everybody listening right now, guys, we're following everything that we're talking about here from a copywriting perspective. This is the exact same stuff how I want you thinking about your online marketing campaigns. So understanding, obviously, the target audience, that's key, right? Because we need to find out where they're at, and talking about the whole thing, like, where is the gap? Like, how big is the gap between where they are and where they need to be? Because understanding that is going to help you figure out, okay, can I or should I be testing sending somebody from an ad directly to a purchase? Or do I need to show them a series of videos? And based on how long they watch the videos, then I'm retargeting them with different offers and so forth. It's this conversation right here and understanding everything that Kiersey's talking about here today. The parallels are exactly the same. So I just want to kind of make that connection for people and just sort of like that's how I've been thinking about this conversation too, that it's so relevant, obviously, to copywriting, but it's also so relevant to the whole marketing journey and the customer journey as we're marketing our business.
Yeah, that's so true. I think because it's all about being human, right? So anything that's relevant to our existence as human beings is relevant to any interactions we have with each other. So yeah. 100% about the strategy, bigger strategy too.
Awesome. Love it. I want to finish off with, what are some questions that you'd recommend that people ask if they're looking to hire a copywriter? What are the types of things that they should be thinking about so that when they're interviewing copywriters to make sure that they are getting a good understanding so that they can make a very educated decision when hiring a copywriter?
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the things you should be asking every time you speak with a new copywriter is what their process is, because all good copywriters have a good process, right? They're not just pulling words together and, you know, slapping things up from their own head. So mm-hmm. It's about really understanding how they're deciding what to include in their copy, how they're deciding, where to include things or what assets to write. So really understanding that. Asking how they like to work. So what can I expect from you in terms of points of contact or turnaround time, that sort of stuff? Because I think that's something people often forget to talk about. They're just focused on the actual deliverables or the outcome, but it's also a collaboration, or it should be a collaboration. So it should also be more focused on that sort of stuff. And obviously, if you're looking at conversion copywriting, asking them for what sort of results they've achieved. You know, show me some of the projects you've worked on recently. Talk to me about the conversion rates or the open rates, whatever it is. And if you're looking for a copywriter that's not about conversion, asking for examples of their work so you can get a real sense of what they can actually produce for you.
And no copywriter should be bashful, for lack of a better way to say that, or maybe I guess a better word is unwilling to share these things with somebody.
That's right. I mean, there might be some cases where you have like an NDA, so you can't show someone that you, but apart from that, I mean, no, because I think if you get a sense they're reluctant to share, then maybe it's because they don't have anything that's
red
good.
Flag.
They don't have anything. Yeah, red flag. Run away.
Okay, cool. I always like to, a lot of people who are listening to the show here, yes, they might be writing copy for themselves, but at the same time, they might be like, you know what? I love this information, super helpful, but I want to hire somebody to help me with this. Yep. And look, for the first few years of my business, I mean, so we're coming up on 5 years here in a couple of months. I mean, for the first, 3 years, I wrote all the copy. And I am not a very good copywriter. I don't consider myself. I find it very challenging. It takes me forever to write just one email. And so, you know, hiring people to work with from a copy perspective was one of the best things that I've done in the business. And it's just super, super helpful to be able to convey all the stuff we're talking about here today in a very nice, clear, concise way, and speaking to our audiences. So thank you for sharing those questions there. Now, with that said, I want to make sure that people can connect with you, Kiersey, if they want to learn more about you, you know, what type of maybe potentially working with you, resources, that sort of thing. What is the best way for people to connect with you?
So the best way is through my website, which is just kiersteyfanton.com. And I'm also hanging out on Instagram as well. So Instagram is kiersty.fanton. And I'm very responsive. So if anyone wants to reach out, I'll get back to you ASAP.
Cool. So Kiersty Fanton, I'm just going to spell that out, kiersty.fanton.com, or on Instagram, it's Kiersty, kiersty.fanton, right?
Perfect.
Got it. I'll make sure to link those up on the show notes for today's episode as well, everybody. So if you're in the car or on the treadmill right now and you're not catching those, just make sure you check out the show notes. I'll link those up for you over there on the site. Kiersey, this has been super, super helpful. Thank you so much for taking it. I look at this as kind of a journey that we've gone on. We've kind of just talking about something as quote unquote simple as understanding your target audience all the way through to these five core ingredients of sort of using the psychology in our copywriting. And I've learned a ton. Like I said, I took a bunch of notes here today. So thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your expertise with us.
No, thanks for having me. This has been really good.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. I really appreciate it. If you want to support the show here and you've not yet left an honest rating and review for the show over on iTunes, please take a second to do that. It's a huge help to the podcast here. And thank you so much in advance for doing that. Coming up later this week, I've got another quick tip episode coming your way. If you have any ideas for what you'd like to hear on upcoming quick tip episodes, shoot me a DM over on Instagram at Rick Mulready and let me know a topic that you'd like me to cover on an upcoming quick tip episode. So until then, and as always, my friends, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.